segues too. So that was
okay. Well, it's a big week. It's election week, and it's also, I mean, the last we left yeah, it was just it was getting windy, a little bit windy, and it was just starting to rain, and it was right before Sandy hit, and you know, what we were talking about last week was that there wasn't much information for Columbia and Greene counties, but Central Hudson provided really strong information throughout the whole thing, and Ulster County was just beyond itself. And then actually the New York City Department of Environmental Protection was very strong in terms of their public response, what they were putting out to people, and also how they treated their reservoir system. There was no undue flooding or problems from any of that, and there's always a lot of worries there. Of course, New York City, New Jersey, all those places to the south from which many of us have come or still have relatives, hit really badly. I went down this past weekend. We were in the Bronx. You couldn't see, you know, there'd be trees over, and there'd be, you know, a few smashed cars. The lines for any gasoline are just incredibly long, and there was a big scare up here where Greene County, the chairman of the Board of Legislatures in Greene County, Wayne Spienberg, put out a notice, I guess it was on the Saturday, saying, you know, expect gas lines up here, gas shortages, but that seems to have been eased at this point. But we filled up our cars. If you can, fill up your cars.
I have a kind of an inside connection to Cumberland, and they are concerned about not being able to get gas because it's all going down south.
Yeah, and it's all, I mean, you know, the other difficulty is that it all flows through those refineries and storage tanks, et cetera, that we all notice in northern New Jersey. And a lot of it then comes up the river, and there's still, you know, blockage and stuff down there. So it's going to be a little while before it gets back to normal. Yeah, the thing that surprised me, I was at the, I think it was at the Walmart, and people were searching out gas containers, and those have just completely sold out all over the place. You know, the strange thing noticed, there's an inordinate amount of dead deer along the thruway and along local roads this year. And we had reported a few weeks ago on squirrels, the situation with squirrels,
correct.
But I haven't found anything except for what I've seen anecdotally, which is just a large number of...
On the Wednesday farm show, Karen and I were talking about the rut having begun this year, and that the state troopers had warned that there was going to be, for some reason, you know, bucks who want a date.
Maybe that's what I've been feeling. Okay, I know that feeling.
And surprisingly, there are an awful lot on the thruway. If I remember the news story correctly, it's about 2,200 every deer season.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it is.
A lot.
It's a, I'll never forget the first time I hit a deer up here, and it seems to be a rite of passage. I actually had one season when I hit nine in like a month period. It was just, you know, the worst was that, you know, I just kind of came in amongst a whole bunch of them licking the highway in a snow squall. But, you know, when you first move up here, then a lot of people say, well, did you get the deer? Did you get them in? You know, you load them into the trunk and take them home and cut them up.
Them
and
home?
It's like, no, I just got home and, you know,
that was my,
got in bed.
That was my two incidents. The first thing the person said to me was, well, where is it? Is it a buck?
Yeah, it's like, no, not
going to
go there.
No, I don't have a headlight.
So anyway, yeah, with the storm, I mean, there's now talk of, you know, a nnortheaster coming through, although they're talking 2 to 4 inches of rain. It's more at this point, everybody's just on edge. And it's, I mean, it's one thing to be facing the idea of climate change and doing things, you know, raising your train lines and your, you know, getting your sewer systems and electrical systems away from from rising water lines. It's another just to have endless news that scares the bejesus out of everybody. You know, and we seem to be in the latter area for right now. Although that was fascinating that Mayor Bloomberg last week came out with his first kind of public endorsement, and he didn't endorse anybody in 2008.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
And doing it based on the idea of climate change, which even though neither candidate has spoken on, you know, in debate about climate change, it did come up at the Democratic convention, and you know, as he said, one has kind of publicly denied and the other has publicly embraced and tried to do something, and that makes a big difference, which is a segue, of course, into the election. And you know, there are a lot of road signs around. It's gotten tight. It's gotten really, it's indicative of just where we are as a nation. I mean, this may be just the problem of a two-party system, that the idea was that you would get balances between, you know, the different levels of government, you know, the executive and the legislative, et cetera. But it seems now that every race comes down to something that's very tight. Mm-hmm. Or what it's doing is pitting kind of urban it's pitting certain types of communities against other types of communities, and it's a little bit ugly.
And the local races seems to have tightened up also.
Yeah, I mean, Amador Kacik is gotten very tight, within 3 or 4 points. You know, Gibson Schreibman, it's hard to say. I was very surprised that the Daily Freeman down in Kingston, you know, came out for Gibson yesterday. There's a number coming out for Schreibman. It's it'll be interesting to see how that race works out, because a lot of it is made up of the old Maurice Hinchey district, which was Democratic for years. And Gibson's district, if we recall, is where Gillibrand came from. Mm-hmm. Just, a couple.
It looked like Gibson was going to run away with it at first, and now it seems to be very close.
I know. It's going to be interesting to see. The same Pete Lopez seems to be, you know, breezing up against Jimmy Miller, who's an Albany cop, you know, lives in Albany, mm-hmm, County, shares a name with that very famous record producer, Jimmy Miller, but, you know, a little confusing. But that one doesn't look as close. Similarly, you know, the one Jim Seward, who's the state senator from out Oneontaway, who's now handling most of Greene County and a lot of the Catskills, he's taken over from Bonasek, is facing a Democrat who keeps an office in New York City, and he's a lawyer, and an office down in Ithaca, Howard Lieb. Nobody heard anything from him, but then it turns out he's been putting letters into small weekly papers in kind of key constituency areas, especially out towards the west and now into the southern part of the district. So, you know, everybody's money's on Jim Seward there, but it could be stronger than one expects, especially if there's a sense of a wave election. And, you know, then there's Dee Dee Barrett versus David Byrne up here, and another one where, you know, a famous musician? Yeah, well, no. And that one, I think, has gotten tighter as well.
Yeah, they both visited WGXC.
And then the Kathy Marchione, Robin Andrews, that's a town supervisor of Claverack, facing off against a Saratoga County clerk, Republican. Claverack, Robin Andrews is Democrat, but they're very close together in many ways, and no one's really reading that race too well either. Similarly, in Greene County, the big thing is that it's a county legislative race, and there's not enough Democratic candidates for the first time in years to take over a majority, but they're all strong candidates, and they can come back to, say, an 8-6 split, possibly in the legislature, and then build from that in the future. The most interesting race is over there, and you know, there's some town races here in Columbia County as well, but the most interesting of the hyper local races are in Lexington and Prattsville, and particularly Prattsville, where Corey O'Hara, who was the supervisor, Democratic supervisor, young fellow from Prattsville, he was in at the time that Irene hit, helped get them through Irene, then got voted out by a write-in candidate who then declined to take the position. Everybody decided to bring Corey O'Hara back in, and now he's facing Greg Cross, who's the former supervisor of Lexington, which is having its own fight over who's going to be their new supervisor and town board. And it's and this is, it just goes to show that you can have, it used to be you'd have a disaster like a Sandy or an Irene or something, and everybody would kind of pull together afterwards. And man, the partisanship comes in so fast again.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes you look back on the days of the Cold War with fondness. The other, big race up here around is New York State Supreme Court. And I think those are 14-year stints. I'm pretty sure it's 14 years. It's a really long stint, and it's well-paying, too. So those are pretty well-fought. Mm-hmm. There are a number of candidates, but it basically comes down to the two Republican incumbents. One of them, Mike Kavanaugh, has been around for a number of years against two opponents, Richard Mott and Steve Schick. And they're both saying, we got to pull it away from just this urban area and allow some of these judges to be a little bit farther away from Albany, because otherwise you're driving 2-3 hours to get to a court case.
And, wow. Yeah.
Because it's a huge district. But that's actually being largely fought in newspapers of all places. That's where all the ads are showing up for that race. It's going to be really interesting to look at how the race, what the overall totals are around here. Is Columbia County going to vote Obama or Romney? Same with Green. Is it going to, how's it going to split down? And then looking at specific towns and in towns, where are the districts these days? Who's going, is it an urban sort of thing? Is it, what districts are more kind of forward-looking, what's looking past? And we'll have a little bit of that next week.
And the governor crossed party lines with some endorsements, did he not?
I haven't been following the governor.
I think so. So it'll be interesting to see if those those that he endorsed that were not Democrats actually win.
Well, the other thing tomorrow is just remember that all our towns, and small cities all across the area, our local fire halls and senior centers and a lot of our election sites have, they're offering food. And they use it as, some of it's free. There's a fundraiser element to it. And it's just a way of kind of supporting your community beyond the election, is to buy a bowl of that chili. Try the ham dinner. Try the pot roast. Have the chicken dumplings. It's a community sort of thing, and it pulls back from the partisanship of elections that we always dive into this time of year. The other big thing that's going on this week is all our town budgets, and the city of Hudson budget and our county budgets are all happening this week.
Some very interesting stories.
Yep.
In all of the newspapers.
And all those meetings tend to happen on Thursday. It's pretty much everywhere you go. You can't cover them all. There are a few stragglers on Wednesday and a couple on Friday, but pretty much everyone's meeting on Thursday. The preliminary budgets are out. Everybody had to struggle to come within the 2% property tax cap, but it's interesting what they're looking at cutting in order to stay within the constraints.
Did you see the Chatham Town story? The Chatham story?
No.
Huge tax. They're looking at a gimendous tax increase.
And what's forcing that?
Highway equipment that wasn't purchased, that they they were trying to wait until the recession was over. They put off a lot of things that can't be put off now.
Ah, okay.
So now they're looking at a gimendous tax.
Okay, well, look at a very gimendous election next year. as that, you know, if people's memories can reach that long.
Yeah, right, that's true, that's true.
You know, it's an off year, so that's why you're going to see some increases. In Columbia County, the Board of Supervisors is looking at the idea, are they going to give non-union employees and department heads raises?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2.5%. Just the fact that they're considering giving raises again, and a lot of towns are, shows, again, that the what had been weak in the last two or three years is actually starting to strengthen some. Although, you know, in Hudson, they're looking at selling off some city property. Mm-hmm. And selling it off to, you know, Eric Galloway's group for, you know, one would be turned, you know, he's talking about a $2 million bistro-style restaurant and bar. And it's a, you know, how far do you go in a town to balance your budget and lend help to somebody who's developing?
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, it's a real sort of question. You know, Stockport's really having some problems trying to keep their tax levy down. But they're keeping their tax levy down, but their water rates are going up 271%. So that's a, you know, you squeeze the balloon, it's going to pop out somewhere.
Now, is that the town with the missing money, or was that Stockport?
Yeah, I believe
that
was.
That was the town with, yeah, so is that playing a part in?
I believe so. And it's, you know, but what they're trying to do is, you know, they got the tax levy part down. I mean, what it really comes down to is how do you, you know, where is the rise going to occur?
And, yeah.
You know, and some school districts are doing bonding for, you know, major changes and throwing things into the bond, and other towns the electric rates are going up or the electric, you know, they have these special districts so they can, you know, put the money in where,
you know, well, you know, I wear this point out, Paul, but there comes that tipping point where you're not going to be able to cut and you're going to have to raise something.
Yeah.
I can't see, you know, if not this year, next year, if not next year, the year after. But
the one that really caught my interest is in up in Greenville. You know, to keep within that tax cap, they decided not to. They're not having any sort of pay raise for the town board or anybody. But they're also not hiring. Haven't been doing any code enforcement in town. It's just too expensive for them. And, you know, they're questioning whether to, you know, how are they going to raise the $9,000? Not much that they, you know, hire a code enforcement officer with. So if you start to cut, you know, how you zone your towns, et cetera, it's going to have a big effect.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see it now. You're going to see it a few years
down the road. Right.
Down the road. And it's a, you know, you can see the effects of previous times when we've come through this in our local buildings. We've been talking about that here, where you see all these buildings that were put up in, say, the early to mid-70s that are just falling down now and looking pretty bad. You see a similar kind of spate of building in the late 50s that just, you know, wasn't done very well. And, you know, we could be coming into that sort of situation now, too.
Well, we're starting to accumulate a lot of empty buildings, are we not?
Yeah. A lot of empty buildings. You know, and then some, you know, the fact that we, you know, did this whole struggle to replace the Tappan Zee Bridge and not put rail lines across there. You know, are we going to come back and
revisit that one at some point?
You know, the other things around the area in terms of schools, it's been fairly quiet, although Ichabod Crane up in your direction finally picked a new superintendent of schools, George Zinni, who's coming out of Massachusetts and starts work on November 20th. And he is a former teacher, a principal, and superintendent of schools in Massachusetts. So looks like they use the job market well and pick somebody well. Now, the question is whether they're going to fit into a community that's
right.
You know, got a lot of had a lot of problems in recent years.
Right.
Yeah, other things up your direction again. In Ghent, there was an interesting story in the Register Star. You know, I always, you know, read about these great fears about Halloween candy and the like, and think, huh, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. That may have happened once. Well, the Columbia County Sheriff's Office received a complaint last Thursday after Halloween that at around 7:44 p.m. on Halloween night, a child found a foreign object. An 11-year-old girl was trick-or-treating in Ghent, and there was a sharp something or other embedded in a red gummy bear.
Oh, wow.
You know, and they managed to you know, catch it before it went in the mouth or anything like that. But kind of a frightening thing. I see that on the news blog, there's a thing about the story I found interesting is that there's a new bourbon distillery.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, well, what we're waiting for now is for the classic old liquor or spirits of this area to come back in terms of true Applejack.
Now you're talking.
You know, the hard ciders and things like that. But I think there are some, you know, check with Kieran on that. I bet you there's some ag and markets regulations around.
I'll bet you Kieran has some on his back porch.
Yes, he probably does.
You skipped over one town, and I've got to talk about this because it is Chatham. We lost the Super Bowl. Chatham Section 2 varsity football team went up to Stillwater to play Hoosick Falls on Friday for the Class C varsity football championship, and we were beaten badly, 40-0.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Well,
we had a undefeated. Uh-huh. We were undefeated. Well, not anymore. The Hoosick Falls just beat us up. I'm very sad, but I'm very proud of the Chatham boys. Go Panthers!
Yeah, good job there. In history and kind of around the world, today's a big day. It's Guy Fawkes Day. In Britain, it's there's no Halloween. Guy Fawkes Day is when you remember Guy Fawkes. We all know the face now. He's the face in what was that? V for Vendetta. And then it showed up in the Occupy movement.
That's right, as Anonymous.
Yeah, it's kind of that mustachioed Van Dyke kind of look. That's the face of Guy Fawkes. Guy Fawkes had plotted to blow up the Houses of Parliament back in the, I think it was the mid-17th century, you know, when England was going through a lot of turmoil. He was caught. And, you know, kind of in commemoration of that day, they have bonfires all over Britain in which they burn effigies of Guy Fawkes. And it's kind of grown so that it becomes this kind of political bloodletting where you throw effigies of all sorts of political figures onto these bonfires. It's big communal events, which would be kind of a beautiful thing to do here before an election.
They know how to do it in Europe.
In fact, there is some friends of ours in Catskill or just outside of Catskill do a Guy Fawkes, one of them is British, and they do a Guy Fawkes Day every year, and it's great fun. And especially when you see these young kids, 10, 11, going, burn, Bush, burn. somebody threw a cabinet up there. Burn the whole cabinet. And, great fun. The other thing in history, and this is where I think there should also be a day, and which is more in keeping with our own nation's deep troubles and ongoing issues. This was a day that Nat Turner, I think it was like in the 1830s, tried having a rebellion in I think it was in Virginia was caught. It was put down brutally, etc. But I think a Nat Turner Day sort of makes sense. We're a long way away from that, though. We're a long way away from that. It's also just a major day in terms of birthdays. This was a day in Susan B. Anthony cast in 1872. She cast, in defiance of the law, cast the first vote by a woman.
And
she was fined $100.
For having the gall to vote.
For having the gall to vote.
All right.
And this was the day in 1895 that George P. B. Selden was granted the first U.S. patent for an automobile.
Oh.
Kind of an interesting thing. And going back into, I mean, it's just a whole ton of birthdays. Sam Shepard, Roy Rogers,
which
I think you have lined
Cue it up.
Cue him up. Ike Turner, Art Garfunkel, the great Graham Parsons, Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits, Bill Walton, the great basketball player, Celtics, Tatum O'Neal.
Tatum O'Neal.
It's 49, the little girl.
Hard to believe, huh?
You know, Johnny Greenwood, the great guitarist from Radiohead. And then two people that have always confused me, Brian Adams from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of 80s hits that I can't remember. And then Ryan Adams, the American musician who seems to get a lot of attention these days, and I've never been able to tell the difference between Brian Adams and Ryan Adams, and it turns out they have the same birthday today. So,
and Art Garfunkel is 71.
I know.
He's not supposed to be 71.
Well, he also wasn't supposed to be, you know, he kept getting popped for marijuana, and every time he went up to visit Woodstock about 10 years ago, he got arrested 3 times in a row in his limo.
A guy can't have marijuana in his limo anymore. What's going on with America?
Yep, but that'll all change after tomorrow.
And on Wednesday morning, I will be pulling up lawn signs.
Yep. In fact, there a lot came up right before the storm. A lot of people actually went out and pulled them out of the ground.
Yeah, because they would have been projectiles.
Yep. So anyway, phones are ringing. Get out there and vote tomorrow. And if you can, get to your local meetings on Thursday and check on your budget. It's a very important. The most important thing you can do besides voting as a citizen of this country.
And WGXC will be providing electric coverage. Okay.
Electric coverage.
That's electric coverage. Election coverage. We'll be all over it on the WGXC afternoon show and going into tomorrow night. So tune into WGXC for results. And I'll be talking to you about any polling places that may have changed or anything like that on tomorrow morning. So thank you very much, Paul Smart, for bringing us up to date and bringing us the good news of the birthday of Roy Rogers. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Everybody, put on your, the spangled
fringe
shirt and those little frills and sing along. Thank you, Paul Smart.
There's a lot of roads that are in